Hello, welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier and flagship podcast of LRM Online. We've got Danny, Mickey, Jonesy, and Jammer. We're the 90s boys band that you didn't know you wanted, but we're here anyway. Jammer's shaking his head. He's the Timberlake of the group. He's going to leave us.
I'll take it. I'll be the successful one.
He's a talented one. He's writing books. He's editing websites. He's doing stuff. Like, I don't know.
I'm not editing websites anymore.
But you were. You did all those things at once.
I've done all those things at some point, yes.
You've dabbled.
I've dabbled.
He also, like, pissed his diaper once.
Haven't we all?
At least. Just bring up everything he did in his history.
He's like, I hear that he sleeps at least 8 hours a night, usually.
That's pretty good.
That should be the takedown for everyone. It's like, well, you know, he used to shit his pants, right? Like, give a fuck about that, dude. And on this week's show, we got a lot of stuff to cover. We are doing Jupiter's Legacy as well as Mitchell's versus the Machines, formerly known as Connected.
I always want to call it Marshall's versus the Machines. I don't know why. Mitchell's.
Because you're a smart shopper. You're a smart shopper. That's why.
That's probably why. I don't think I've been inside of a Marshall's ever.
Connected makes way more sense.
Yeah, I mean, they both make sense.
Well, the other one's like on the nose.
Yeah.
The original title, I was like, what's Connected? And then when they changed it, I'm like, that's a stupid title. But
I actually, cool. we'll talk about the title later because I am on the fence.
You're on the fence.
About the title.
About the title specifically. Just the title.
Okay.
I'm all in on everything else about that movie.
Well, before we get there, we got news. And since Nick inexplicably volunteered to do the news based off of a joke, he's going to be leading us through it. It's not inexplicable. You know why? Because Nick Dahl is a go-getter. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about.
Also, I wrote more than half the stories we're going to cover.
God, I remember when that used to be the case for me. Those were the days. News item frontwards and backwards. Those were the days.
What I love is that we're going to be talking about a movie called Connected, and all I can see is like the soft glow of Nick's phone on his face, like as he's looking down as I'm talking about him. He's just like, beep, boop, 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 beep. So it's on you, sir. Whenever you're ready.
All right. You guys heard about a movie called Knives Out 2?
No.
Oh, you're talking to us. Yes.
Yeah. Well, so I don't talk to the audience. They don't exist. It's just the four of us in this space, in this void. So, of course, there's Knives Out 2 and 3 coming. We've all heard about the over $400 million deal that Netflix closed to get the films. This week, I haven't checked today, and today is Thursday. So there should be two more people cast by the time you read this because they've been leaking one a day. Meaning that whether it's Variety or The Hollywood Reporter, they'll have it as exclusive, but they can't confirm with Netflix. But Netflix wouldn't confirm. So first on Monday, we got Dave Bautista as our first cast member in Knives Out 2, or Suspect, as they're calling them all. And then on Tuesday, we got Edward Norton. And then finally on yesterday, we got Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, Janelle Monáe.
Yeah. Who's mostly a musical artist, but does have quite a few movies, including Antebellum within her resume.
Moonlight. So,
what was that? Yeah, Moonlight. I didn't know how big of her role was in a lot of those. Hidden Figures, and she's done music for most of those movies as well.
Yeah.
So what is the thought on our brand new cast so far? List of suspects, as it were, for Daniel Craig to investigate, you know, eccentric. You know, we know what we're looking at based on the last film.
Well, I think the question is...
Oh, you go.
Who do we want to be the, what's her name? What the heck's that lady's name? Oh my God, what the hell is her name?
Ana de Armas.
Main character, Knives. Yeah, Ana de Armas.
Like, I was actually thinking it might be
who's going to be that person, Janelle, in the story?
I was thinking it might be her because she's the least famous so far.
I love like just the lack of confidence in this Janelle. Yeah, that one.
I miss the days when Nick had a black girlfriend because she'd be like, what the fuck, Nick? Come on.
I don't remember those days.
I was like, did you have a black girlfriend? I didn't know that.
Hey, I just mispronounce every even white names equally.
But... I mean, that's probably not necessarily true.
It's definitely not true.
Yeah.
Can confirm. Every ethnic name, Nick's like, I don't know about this one. I'm going to put it out there.
Well, French names are white names.
That's so true.
Give me an example.
Janelle Monáe.
Jimmy almost. Yeah, Monáe even sounds French.
I think it's. I think sure. Monáe is French.
It has a little.
It's
dash.
Not spelled like the painter. But so I know Nick, that. Give me an example of a person that you that you messed up. Let's hear.
Don't you have like 1,000 of those for every time I've said anyone's name? That's more than like.
I do.
And none of them are white.
None of them are white.
Oh, sorry, Oliver.
Just any French name.
I'll
I
let
couldn't
you
even say. I couldn't get. Actually, yes. I don't remember his name at the moment. I couldn't give you the name of the Frenchman from Mission Impossible. I couldn't pronounce his name correctly.
Frenchman? Is that as offensive as Chinaman?
If so, it doesn't matter. I don't care about being racist to white people.
I was just thinking about it because like Frenchman doesn't sound right. And I just made me think, do I only think that because that term is, the other term is really offensive? Or
the other term you already said.
Oh my God. The term I already said.
The tangent train is here.
Yeah, fuck off. What do you guys think about Knives Out?
No, I'm really excited.
In Greece.
Yeah. As I said before, I'm really excited to see who's going to be maybe the secondary lead of this thing or if they're going to go that route for this one. Maybe they won't. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll have Mr. Craig be, you know, full on MC this time around, or maybe not.
I do feel like he needs a foil, but
he might. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Batista coming back because it'll be fun to see him and Daniel Craig on screen together again, even though they're in one of my least favorite Bond movies. I'm excited for Janelle Monáe because I really like her as an actress and as a singer. I think her music is pretty great.
Edward Norton love out there, folks.
He's fine. Like I haven't seen him in a while in anything. He hasn't done anything recently that would make me excited to see him again. She is generally in my circle. She was in an Amazon anthology series. I think it's called Homecoming a little bit ago. And like I said, I listen to her music frequently. Dave Bautista is fucking Dave Bautista. We're about to review one of his movies soon. So they just stayed in the zeitgeist. So I'm excited for them.
Do you have anything, Danny? Any thoughts?
No. This is one of those times when, because the first one was such a, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. And I'm happy that we don't really know what to expect for the next two either. This is purely just guesswork right now. And I kind of enjoy that. I'm looking forward to seeing who else they're going to add. And literally knowing nothing about it is a rare thing in this day and age. So I'm quite excited that we don't know anything yet. Long may that continue until I actually go to see it.
So I've got a question. So this will be interesting for this movie in particular. So I feel like the family thing in a mystery is a fairly worn trope, right? Like,
oh,
who in the family? What, we got the other one? We got the new
breaking
one?
Breaking news. Who just came in.
Who is it?
Catherine Hahn.
Ooh. Oh, they're nailing this cast. Just like, that's actually the most exciting somehow. It wouldn't have been a few months ago, but.
And how many Agatha All Along jokes are there going to be among fans?
Lots.
That she's going to
I hope she does it.
I hope she doesn't.
That would be so on the nose. That would be awesome.
I'm curious what they will use for like a vehicle for this. No pun intended. So we've got the family trope, like who in the family murdered the patriarch of the family. Then you've also got the train trope for mystery. I'm just curious, will they mix it up and do one of those?
I think they'll. I don't think it'll be a family, but we'll see if he goes as close to Agatha Christie or whatever as a train or a boat or something.
Yeah.
Where was it being filmed? Is it filmed? Wasn't Greece? It being filmed in Switzerland? Greece? I thought it was somewhere in Europe that they were headed.
Mm. To be on a cruise ship, like Nick just said.
Or through Europe, hence the train connection, the old Orient Express kind of route from one by devil, or what's the other one? The Great Siberian Railway was the one that dragged a long way along, wasn't it? So, yeah. That, maybe that's right. Maybe they're going to take those different tropes. Maybe there's going to be a haunted house version or something like that.
They could combine it with Snowpiercer and just be like, we're on a train that never stops. Who killed somebody? It was Chris Evans again.
You gotta transport him somewhere.
Yeah. All right. That's Knives Out 2. Now we're going into a bunch of Marvel news. There was a trailer and poster this week for Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Venom. Venom.
That's the song. I forgot what song Jonesy was talking about.
The talented about. One shows his acting and singing.
Oh, and we got our look at Carnage. We got most of the plot. We got Siren. Probably got a bunch of scenes from the ending, just like the last one. like the end. So what'd you guys
think? How excited for this is Nick Dahl. Jesus Christ.
Venom's voice. To me, it looks exactly like the first, like to a point where it's like, why would I even watch this?
That's actually the biggest surprise to me is the goofy tone of the original from Ruben Fleischer was retained 100%. I thought they would try to change it up and maybe skew more towards like what maybe fan service towards what they've expressed that they wanted. But now Andy Serkis leaning full on into sort of the goofy campiness. Like I think the part that really stood out to me is at the very end of like the opening scene when he just sprays ketchup on his face and he's just like really depressed. Like, this is my life. This is what I'm living right now. I'm really depressed about it. And I don't think it's going to be great, but maybe I'll be entertained. I don't know. It's possible. I don't know why they decided to change Venom's voice.
Doesn't he sound exactly the same as Venom?
He sounds so different. He sounds like fucking Cookie Monster right now. Now that he
I sound like Cookie Monster originally, but I guess I've only seen it once and it was
No, because I always remember. I remember the scene where when he's running through the forest. He's like, "Back in my world, I'm kind of a loser," and now he's just like singing and sounding like Cookie Monster. It sounds weird.
Maybe it's because he's happy. So Cookie Monster is generally happy because he's getting cookies. In the scene that you were talking about, he's depressed, right? He's talking about being a loser. In the opening scene of this, he's like singing and happy and making breakfast and squirting things on people. So like,
I will also say there apparently were moments that were merged along with Tom Hardy's voice with another voice actor, Brad Venable, who has since passed away. I don't know, but that's true. What's wrong with you? Why are you laughing?
It's not my fault. It was before you said that the person passed away because you said Dan Venn and it was like Venom? Like, no. And
then you said Brad Venable. Brad Venable.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to say the rest. I was like, please say Venom. And I just couldn't. Back the laugh before you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's dead. And I was like, fuck, stop laughing. Yeah. Stop.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he passed away a few months back, which is really sad. But he. Some parts that he merged in with Tom Hardy's voice. I don't know how much of a difference that would have made, but there you go. I don't know. It looks stupid. Maybe I'll watch it. Maybe I won't.
So probably. Wait, I have a question. Yeah. What was you all's So Nick Jammer, sounds like neither of you like the first one, right?
No, I will say.
I mean,
the funny parts I was just are like, the best. So I was happy to see those in this trailer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was entertained, but it wasn't good.
Yeah,
Danny, what do you think?
I'm with Jam on that one. It was watched it once, instantly forgettable. Not that fast about it.
I hate it. I thought it was complete trash. Like it was, and I think it made me angry listening to people around me yucking because I was like, "This is the dumbest fucking shit I've ever seen." But anyway,
I mean, I'd still give it an F even with the yucks I got. Like, it is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, at least superhero wise. So
yeah,
and as a Venom fan, I was so fucking disappointed with that movie.
I think for me, there are two things. I'm really curious to see what Andy Serkis could do with this because he's never directed anything of this magnitude before, right?
Just the Jungle Book, right? Origins was.
No one saw that because it got thrown on Netflix. Well,
Mowgli. Wasn't it Mowgli?
Yeah.
It was called Jungle Book Origins and they changed it.
That's what Jammer's thinking.
And so I forgot he directed it. I did like that. So I'm curious about this. Did you see it? Me? Yeah.
You saw Jungle Book Origins or Mowgli?
Mowgli, yeah. I think I liked it. It was funny. I watched it around the same time as Disney's reimagining of the Jungle Book. I'm fairly certain that I liked Andy Serkis's better.
I did the same thing. I enjoyed the Mowgli movie a little bit more because it was daring to do something different. It was trying to be a little bit different and push the envelope on that whole, on the special effects at that time too, which Andy Serkis is famous for, motion capture, the... Is it mocap?
Yeah, mocap.
The animal mocap, yeah. So I enjoyed it more for that reason, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that and the fact that they actually cut Woody Harrelson's wig. Fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
The hair is much
terrible
better
in the first one. So, we'll see.
I forgot. And I think Carnage does look really good. It's just that I have no faith in these movies at this point to be like, it'll be good. It's like, no, and I watched an Easter egg video about it, which makes some interesting points about how this is definitely set in the old universe, kind of intentionally, at least links to it. Not actual Spider-Man, but they keep the date. Any like logos they use are from the Sam Raimi trilogy, as far as like Daily Bugle and stuff. And it's a newspaper again. But the stupidest thing they said in the video was, you know how these guys overanalyze everything. They're like, ooh, look at the ketchup on him, as if the blood that we'll later see in the movie. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Just as he got ketchup on himself in the trailer doesn't mean that. But they also point out that the guy who becomes Toxin later is in it. It's like, no more fucking... If all these movies are going to be him fighting another guy in a suit that looks exactly like him, like... His villains are even worse than like Iron Man villains. They're all just Tony Stark's.
Yeah. Speaking of which, doppelganger villains.
There's a in the newspaper that Toxin was reading, or the guy that will become Toxin, it looked like
Avengers.
It said Avengers in it. Yeah,
it does look like it. But they Andy Serkis has did like a trailer commentary, and he's like, he says to me like, "This isn't the MCU, and no one's aware of Spider-Man yet." And it's like that's a weird thing.
He could also be lying. The people involved, they're full of shit. They're full of like fucking terrible shit. It's awful.
If you can't trust Golem, who can you trust?
It's a good point. It's a really good point.
You can trust the precious.
Always the precious.
All right. Black Panther 2 news.
Actually, hold on a second. Danny was segueing us into Iron Man news and we like deviated away.
He has Iron Man news?
Yeah, when somebody has a good segue, you gotta like Mickey Rourke. Go that's the Iron Man news, right?
Oh. Yeah. Yes, I forgot we had Iron Man news. I guess that counts.
So I forgot we had Iron Man news. I guess that counts as Iron Man news.
I thought he was transferring into a story about Iron Man that I wasn't aware of, and I forgot that he was.
It's Iron Man adjacent.
So. Wait, did the person who wrote this article not even put in the original comment? Anyway.
It's in there. Mickey Rourke. He says that the Marvel movies are shit.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's upset because he got cut out a lot of Iron Man 2. That sounds like the genesis of his towards Marvel. He's
a bitter complaining Betty about that from day one, because they cut out a lot of his apparently good character building stuff that I really liked, and they were left with the basic spine of a villain that doesn't really hold up. A weak spine, so to speak.
Well, it matches his weak performance.
I don't think it's a weak performance.
Where's my bird? My bird. Like I just that's
where's my bird?
So where's terrible. My bird? Like that was my, that was gonna be my title if I wrote it. Worst Marvel actor says Marvel movies are crap.
He wasn't that bad. Worst Marvel.
He's terrible. Worst Marvel actor. What's he's the worst villain, I would say, as far
who's
as
the
acting.
Worst. Who
was
the worst?
Was it the worst because he was terrible, or was it just because it was an underwritten villain?
Because he was bad at, and it was under both, I would say.
I don't think he was that bad. What was bad about it? The only part that I didn't like was at the very beginning where he's like, when he's like crying, and it didn't seem like he was crying.
Yeah, that was weird.
Other than that, though, I thought he was fine. Just not a little uninteresting, but like the performance I thought was fine. I actually think who would be the worst? If I were to pick who was the worst, are we going villains or just actors?
I would say villains. They're definitely worse actors. I would consider them Mickey Rourke in the movies. Performances. He was a good actor for The Wrestler, and then he was crappy again after that. I don't know. I can't remember his career before The Wrestler. That's where everyone made a big deal that Mickey Rourke is back. And Marvel's like, we want some of that action.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tim Roth
as a worst actor.
I'm just thinking of the worst movies.
But he wasn't a bad. You're just thinking of the worst movies. That's the problem. Yeah. It's like, it's easy to single out the worst movies.
That's actually hard to come up with the worst. Hayward, if he counts. Even there, he's just underwritten. He's not like.
You know who I'm not a huge fan of? Hayward from WandaVision.
Oh, yeah. He
was person I just said.
But that's just a villain that you don't like. No. He asked who it was. He asked who you said.
No, he was terrible. Oh. He wasn't just, like, he was underwritten and incredibly poorly done.
Yeah. But also maybe Jasper Sitwell. I like that actor. I did not like him in that role.
He's barely a character, though. Like, does he have, like, three lines?
He's got, like, seven.
I think he has more lines in the short. He was originally in the one shot. He has more lines than that than he has in Captain America. Anyway, I don't know. Keep thinking about it. I'd love to hear an answer of who's equally bad or worse.
That's how we end the show. You have to come back with our answers for this.
Oh, I like that. It makes me have to do some research on the download.
Yeah. While we're not listening to Nick introduce Nick's story.
Yeah, I will do that. Thanks for the segue I missed, Danny. But now we'll go back to some Black Panther Wakanda Forever news, which I've just been writing as Black Panther 2 most of the time. It saves a little time.
Might not be as good for the algorithm though, just a heads up.
Well, I tag it with both. Well, that's tagging true, but not most people aren't searching Black Panther Wakanda Forever is also how
that's a good point
SEO works. Most people are looking for Black Panther
too. Listen, Nick, here's the deal. Don't let the algorithm get you down, okay? Just you do you do what you want to do.
I am the algorithm.
You really are. Anyway, okay.
I fight the user.
So now we move on to Black Panther 2 news with Martin Freeman, who's the only one who's been talking about the movie, maybe a little bit too much. I don't know, because he's like the only one who seems to have a new quote every month. So last we heard from him, he hadn't even seen a script, and now he's talked to Ryan Coogler. Now, here, I'm going to read his quote. I had a Zoom call with Ryan Coogler, the director and co-writer, about 7 or 8 weeks ago, I suppose. He sort of meticulously took me through all the characters' beats in the film. He took me through the film, but incorporating my characters' beats. And then this is the part of the quote that got people's attention. Some of it was very odd, and I think Coogler could see from my reaction on my face some of the things he was saying. He kept sort of stopping, and he was like, stay with me, but this is going to work. So what do you think that could... Obviously, it could go 1,000 directions, and this is... It sounds like it's all related to Freeman's character in general. Are we going to get a white Black Panther? That was the oddest thing I could think of, but they wouldn't actually do that. I was just so...
Maybe Black Panther in space or something? Or something just a little bit ridiculous.
That's not that weird in the Marvel universe.
That's a good point. It's not. But what if it was like, what if it's an interdimensional Wakanda on different Earths? I don't fucking know, dude. I don't know.
I don't know. That seems, given what we've seen, I don't think that he would like blush at that, right? Like that doesn't seem like a thing that's so out of the ordinary. So it sounds like it has to be a specific character development for him where he's just like, oh, that's weird.
You know, it's funny. You want to hear my mind, my rabbit hole of a mind that just went through what you were saying? It's like, it doesn't seem like he'd be that weird. And I was thinking to myself, yeah, he's been in Doctor Who. Wait, no, he hasn't. He was just with an actor in Doctor Who. Wait a second. Benedict Cumberbatch isn't in Doctor Who. That's like my mind path just went down. It's like, that doesn't work at all.
I can see your connections, though, because Sherlock was by the same guys as Doctor Who.
Yeah, that was it. It was just funny.
And the Cumberbatch originally applied to be Doctor Who. And they're like, nah, we got a different role for you.
I thought you were just being racist against British people. Like, God, they're all the same.
Definitely.
All the same BBC shows.
Kirsten gives me shit because I need subtitles on all of my BBC shows. Otherwise, I can't fucking
British. I'm the opposite. I'm like the person when they add subtitles on the news or something. Like, sometimes they do that with thick accents, even if they're like English accents. I'm like, I don't need to read that shit. Like, I watch so much British television and stuff.
So who's adding the subtitles when I'm speaking to you now then, Gemma? Are they coming up on the bottom of the screen?
No, you're very clear. You're very clear. But it's just like, you know, if I'm watching, I can't even remember, but it's just like, oh, did you do world? I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
That's pretty racist. Now we're being racist against white people. I didn't think that was possible earlier.
Well, they the way they speak quickly. They speak in slang, and it's just like all over the place.
Jesus Christ.
Who's Gemma, they?
What's wrong with you?
The actors.
British Lives Matter. British Lives Matter, Jammer.
BLM, yeah, it fits.
I think I'm going to skip the one about the Eternals. No, I'm going to do it.
That's not a real story.
Take it.
That's why I wanted to share it, is because it's such a ridiculous story.
It's the same thing as Mads Mikkelsen. He's like, oh, I see you in the Indiana Jones script. It's awesome. Somebody from the Eternals. Oh, it's Oscar worthy. Like, what are you going to say that it's dog shit?
That's what I was going to say. Oscar worthy.
Mention about my final thought for that I forgot for Knives Out 2 was that's Norton's the most exciting to me for one reason, not because he'll be the best actor, but because he's actually out of all that group, he's the one who would decide based on if the script's actually good or not. Dave Bautista just wants a payday.
Maybe.
I don't think that's true.
Here's the thing.
He's an army of death.
You haven't seen it.
I know. It also has good reviews, but.
I'm confused. What?
So he's saying that Dave Bautista only wants a payday, and then he used Army of the Dead to prove.
Not which point. I was joking on that one, but he was Inspector. He is rather be in a Bond movie than be in a good movie. If you read the script, Spectre.
I bet you he doesn't really look at the whole movie, but probably looks at what his character is as a stepping stone in sort of stretching his abilities as an actor. And that's also, he likes to work specifically. Like he's like, I get to work with. With, you know, Denny Villeneuve, fuck yeah, sign me up.
And even beyond that, like his role in Blade Runner was pretty good, right? And he got
pretty good in a boring movie.
He got to stretch his acting talent for that flick. So
did it have bad pacing, Jammer?
Oh, yes. Yes, it did.
We'll get to that, I guess. I just thought it was funny that you always use that. And I'm like, I don't think I've ever said that about a movie.
But
like, I've
never
used the word, I've complained about that, but I've never used the word pacing when I complain about I'll say that movie was slow.
I say pacing, but we'll get to that later.
Isn't it weird that the guy that went to film school is ragging on the guy that went to film school for using film school specific language?
I don't know. But it's also like we've joked before about that we don't like the same kind of movies we would have liked in film school.
You're such an elitist.
Actually, I think I do like the same movies I would have. I think I finally like understood my taste. It's very sort of blockbuster heavy. Blockbuster but heart heavy, which is why I like the MCU.
Okay.
And also heart heavy's fine, but I don't like that boring super indie shit. I never really have. I think I tried to convince myself that I did back in college.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. In film school, you're like, oh yeah, I like this stuff. And the minute you get out, you're like, why was I watching that garbage?
Yeah, I only like specific things from like, I don't know, man.
Anyway, Eternals is getting praise from sources. Jesus Christ, cat. I have a cat charging back and forth on the back of the couch.
Right. I see him.
It's great entertainment. I want Oliver to start doing the same thing in a minute.
Distracting is what it is. He's going to do it again. I can see it. Yeah, I think he's hunting a bug. Anyway, sources tell us that Chloe Zhao. There you go. Eternals plays like an Oscar caliber film and is unlike anything Marvel has ever done, sidestepping many of the audience-friendly conventions that tend to hold back other blockbusters of its kind for major award season.
So who said that?
Sources say.
Okay. I mean, I think it's easy to say now that she won an Oscar.
I think that's the thing
for Nomadland. But, you know, who knows? That's cool. I like it. I like it because while I wouldn't call WandaVision award-worthy, I would say that it showed that there is some sort of creative stuff that they're willing to do, and I'm hoping that Eternals is more evidence of that. For me, I don't care if it's weird, if it's different, I'll be happy. Like, just it doesn't need to be award worthy. Just do something unique and fun, all while still retaining sort of the heart that we really like in the franchise, and I'll be happy.
Well, anyone else?
Do weird stuff, but be good.
Yeah,
jammer.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that was also my thought about the odd comment from Black Panther. Like, I keep having thoughts about stories you've already done. Was that Marvel's tried a lot of odd shit and I've liked all of it.
They try like, odd shit.
Let's do a talking
shit,
raccoon and tree.
But it's usually usually in service of something very mainstream in terms of structure. And it hasn't been until WandaVision, actually until phase 3, because they've done some weird stuff in phase 3, but it hasn't been until phase 3 where they started to do more unique stuff. Like usually they still have like weird stuff, but it's all in like a very tried and true spine and structure of a story. Like Guardians of the Galaxy, that is like a very tried and true 3-act story. Very, very straightforward. Same thing with Doctor Strange. They're like, it's going to be weird. I'm like, no, it's Iron Man again, except, you know, with a different skin. So maybe a better skin. That's fine. Yeah, it's not bad. I'm just saying the weird stuff is usually at a surface level, but everything is sort of mostly at its core, still pretty traditional. WandaVision, I think, changed that a little bit, but I think still a lot of it was more surface level than we like to admit to ourselves. But I think they were doing more creative stuff with like Avengers, Infinity War, and Civil War, and sort of the big team up movies and how they incorporate multiple storylines and stuff. So they are doing interesting stuff with that already.
So the Russos have done all the interesting stuff. And now they're gone.
Ragnarok, but that was also just a goofy tone with a still standard structure. Yeah. So I think it goes to show just how much you can get away with if you just have like, if you skin something up in something that is surface level unique. Not saying it's a bad thing. I actually like that, but
Doctor
I like
Strange just not have a better skin than Iron Man.
No, I was just saying slowly, it's a better movie than any of the Iron Mans.
No. Okay. No. Anyways, my point is that it's nice to see them slowly stretch into different directions. And eventually I bet you, you know, in like 10 years, we'll be like, who can you believe that like this is where we started off and this is where we are now in terms of just
I'm already like that.
Expect. Yeah. I mean, we'll be even further.
Especially with the TV element. You add that on and you're like, geez, I thought it was groundbreaking when Bruce Banner and Steve Rogers stood on the helicarrier and then it lifted out of the water because I forgot they existed until that scene. But
my moment was when Tony Stark showed up in The Incredible Hulk. I think that was my moment where I was like, what is this? It wasn't even the Sam Jackson moment. It's like, that was cool. But when they first did it, I was like, holy shit, this could actually be a thing.
I think my moment that was most exciting for me, which is really bizarre, because we've already had crossovers before that point, was in Thor when Coulson was like about to point a gun at that the Guardian thing, and she's like, "Is that one of Stark's?" He's like, "I don't know. That guy doesn't tell me anything." Just sort of a casual throwaway line about this other important thing. I was just all like, "Oh, they're like integrating it into like the core of the story and not just at the tail end now." And I thought that was super cool. It's like, yeah, this is happening. We're getting, you know, Avengers soon.
Yeah,
love it. But does anyone else think it's Oscar caliber? I mean, having not seen it, I still doubt. Well, Oscar caliber is a very loose term. I think almost every Marvel movie's been nominated, but lost for best visual effects, which is Oscar.
Not really caring about the Oscars. I care not about that comment.
I think too. I don't give a shit about the Oscars.
Here's the thing. I do think there are some movies at a story level and probably even a filmmaking level, if you look objectively, that are Oscar caliber. They're just not the Oscar type of movie. But like,
if
you look
at, they ignore. Yeah. Unless it's like a really weird movie, like Joker or Logan.
Because Endgame script. Endgame script is fucking pristine. I goddamn love that script. Also, just the filmmaking prowess. You know, you could say the visual effects on what's his name are maybe a little off or this or that, but like just the filmmaking of bringing everything together. Like, this is like people at the top of their game putting together amazing, just like logistically, all that together. That deserves like a best film award. Because no one on a fucking indie level is doing anything remotely close to that in terms of skill. And I just think that's, you almost ignore what the award is about. The award should be an accomplishment of what the specific thing is. And now it's just like, oh, it's just because we like the movie. It's like not quite the same.
You just made me laugh because you made me think of when you were saying earlier that you thought you liked indie movies when you were in school. The people in the Oscar committees are people who have convinced themselves that that's what they still like. Mm-hmm. They never have grown out of that.
Yeah. Everyone pretending they still like Scorsese mob movies.
Yeah.
Reminds me of my brother-in-law. Love him, but man, he he tried to convince me that Under the Skin was a good movie. I'm like, it is not. It is so boring.
Which movie?
Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson, where she plays that alien that like abducts guys and kills them. No.
I've never heard of it.
It's boring. You guys would all hate it.
We should watch it for the next show.
I don't really want to see it. I'm not the biggest ScarJo stan in the world.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I thought was cool about it is that they apparently they have scenes where she's driving up to guys and basically luring them into the van, into her van. Ooh. And those were essentially candid scenes, or what's the word I'm looking for? Candid camera type scenes where literally she's going up to random fucking dudes on the street and basically sweet talking them into getting into the car. Like that was like legit.
Does she have any makeup on, or is it just Scarlett Johansson?
It's just Scarlett Johansson.
I would just hop in the van. She doesn't say a word.
Well, I mean, the point is these people didn't know who she was. I thought that's a cool aspect of the filmmaking, that those scenes were like, improv isn't the right word, but improv, for lack of a better term, and actually real. But other than that, that movie was boring.
Yeah, they cut everyone who was like me, because that probably did happen a lot.
It might have.
Those are the reactions you don't want that don't fit in the film. It's like, Scarlett Johansson. No, yeah. I'm an alien asshole. Oh, okay. All right. So, unfortunately, my order, I had nice order to all these.
Did it come with fries?
I went from like Spider-Man to that. Danny just threw an Iron Man out of nowhere. Because the next one I have is Emily Blunt talking about Marvel movies also. And it's she's the only person I respect who says she doesn't like Marvel movies because...
Well, she said no, she doesn't like superhero movies. I don't think she...
Superhero in general. Like, here's her quote. It's not that it's beneath... This is after she said, like, people are talking about... No one has received a phone call, like they all say. I hate that it's always a phone call. Like, I'll get to the Andrew Garfield news in a second. That's just people saying, wouldn't it be great? You know, like, all those interviews where it's like, hey, wouldn't you love to be James Bond? Or, like, Andrew Garfield's like, yeah! Not Andrew Garfield. Tom Holland's the person they asked about that. But, they asked, what's your dream role? And Tom Holland's like, James Bond. And it's like, no.
You're too small, boy.
But so she said it's not beneath me after saying she hadn't gotten any calls for Fantastic Four, which apparently everyone wants her and John Kerensky in Fantastic Four. She responded, I love Iron Man. And when I
wait, we found it.
No, he did that on purpose. Don't acknowledge that. Keep moving.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Found what?
Nothing.
Come on, it's a white guy's name. You mixed up. You messed up.
Yes.
You said John Kerensky. It's Krasinski.
Oh, okay. Good.
And as soon as he did it in my head, I was like, nah, you did that shit on purpose. I'm not even going to say
last
anything.
Last names usually, guys.
He said it 1,000 times before on the show because he talks about how much he hates him all the time. That's why I was like, I'm not even
Have I ever pronounced it right on the show before?
Yes, yes you have.
So Emily Blunt says,
She's French.
I love Iron Man. And when I got offered Black Widow, I was obsessed with Iron Man. I actually didn't know that. I wanted to work with Robert Downey Jr. It would have been amazing. But I don't know if superhero movies are for me. They're not up my alley. I don't like them. I really don't. That's actually kind of a twist. And one, she kind of goes from Nick, does a Nick Dahl there in that like one sentence. But
I don't like them. They're kind of not good. No, you'll fuck those movies.
She's like, I wanted to work with Robert Downey Jr. I was almost this. And she's like, but I don't like him. But I am normally when someone insults Marvel, there's a little bit of a fuck you inside me, even if I don't really care about their opinion. But with this one, I'm like, fuck yeah. That means we won't end up with my least favorite actor in Fantastic Four.
I mean, it really doesn't, though. She could also be lying.
Yeah, she could be lying, or he could do it without her. But I don't know. Yeah. I hate that casting so much.
Would you guys prefer to see a younger Sue Storm or someone of Emily Blunt's age playing Sue Storm, like a more mature Sue Storm? Because we had the young one, right? In the previous films, we've Tim Story did the
first two.
But they were a young family, right? They were young, and whether or not it would be better to cast an older team.
I love that you skipped over the reboot.
They were super younger in that one, weren't they?
I actually forgot about that, but for obvious
and four stick.
Where they were actually like children in that one versus the Tim Story one.
I don't know. It would be interesting if they were a little bit older because they could bring in their kids eventually.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Franklin Storm.
No.
No? Well, not Storm.
Mostly because you said you want their kids in it. And I was like, nah.
And that's the only reason I think you'd go older. Otherwise, I would go 30s like everybody else. Well, actually, most of the actors are 40 by now, but whatever.
One thing I didn't know about that story, Nick. Sorry, I didn't know that a director for Fantastic Four had already been made.
Yeah. What's his name from Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home?
I didn't realize that actually, because as far as I knew, they weren't talking about Fantastic Four being, obviously, that we all know it's going to be made and they put the logo out, but I didn't realize the director had been.
Didn't we talk about this?
This was probably about a year ago at this point.
Yeah, this is a while ago.
Yeah.
Which
is great, because that's who I wanted to direct it.
I don't know if it was pre-Danny. Maybe it was.
No, it probably wasn't. Maybe he missed a week or just, you know, old age memory.
Shots fired.
I'm on fire.
Probably right. I'm not offended. I'm agreeing with him. Whatever his name is, I'm agreeing with him. I don't really.
So
okay, December 2020, it was announced.
Okay, it was last year. They were still deep into No Way Home.
5 months ago, shit.
Yeah, it was 5 months ago, and that was via a tweet from Marvel Studios. Literally, it says John Watts will direct the new feature for Marvel's first family, Fantastic Four, and that has a Fantastic Four logo. That's it.
Anyone else have thoughts on Emily Blunt? Liking, wishing she was working with Robert Downey Jr., but then. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I hate to be this guy, but I always wonder the people who say that, how many of these movies they've actually watched. Yeah. Like, have they made it to Endgame? I'm not convinced they haven't
seen more than like Iron Man or Iron. It sounds like she probably didn't even watch Iron Man 2 because she didn't take the role in her case.
I mean, granted, you're allowed to not like it. Let me just put that out there. But I just feel like the way they say they're like, oh, they're spent out. I'm like, you clearly haven't been watching because they're able to like find new ways to sort of tell these stories. And I just think it's interesting finding ways to integrate them into each other.
Well, but, I feel like you know, a lot of actors who get cast in it haven't seen a single one when they get cast. Like, I don't think Owen Wilson's seen a Marvel movie. He was just, you know, given some research to do.
Yeah.
Christian Bale, probably same thing. He's probably never seen a Marvel movie, but he's like, I like Taika Waititi. Maybe I saw Jojo Rabbit or something.
I don't know. I hear that he's gaining 50 pounds to become a Marvel movie. So we'll see if that works out for him.
To become a Marvel movie.
To literally become a Marvel movie. It's his research. Right.
He's going to paint himself red.
And just hum the fame to himself.
He's humming it, and then like the camera's just zooming in on him, and he's all red, the logo.
Just like rolling around so the camera can get him.
Different angles. He has like Iron Man tattooed on an arm, and then he rolls, and there's like Captain America tattooed on his back. Pew, pew,
pew, pew. Do his own sound effects.
This has to be the stupidest like fucking bit we've ever had on this show. What the fuck happened?
I mean, everything.
I just love the idea of like a camera zooming on his bloated body, like as he's trying to pretend to be the Marvel.
Still has his Dick Cheney body when he shot it. Okay. So last week we talked about Andrew Garfield and him saying twice that he didn't get the call and he probably should have got a call by now. He was going to be in No Way Home. And then the day after we recorded, I got to write the end of my trilogy of articles about Andrew Garfield for the week, which Cam was like, we're not even covering this story. I'm like, no, it's the end of my trilogy. So after saying that twice, he hasn't gotten a call. He said this to Access. Is it even Hollywood anymore? It's just Access Online. I've heard all the rumors of everything. And to be frank, I think it's a really cool idea. But as a fan, just a pure fan, it's a really cool idea. But yeah, I've said previously, it's not something that I hate being given the responsibility of disappointing people. It's not something that I've been asked about or anything like that. But you know, never say never. Whenever a Marvel actor says again, that, it feels like admitting that they are in it.
No, it's not. It's just them just saying, I like money and I like potential cool things that I want to be involved in. I don't want to close any doors because you look like an idiot when you close the doors. And then you do it anyway.
Leaving all that money on the table.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. And I'm going to skip the No Way Home rumors unless someone really wants us to hear the latest because they're always changing.
I'm good. Yeah.
Cool. Now we get into Tom Cruise news.
Oh.
The first is actual mission news. Tom Cruise calls a stunt in Mission Impossible 7 his most dangerous yet.
I don't believe
it. You're like, sure, they get more dangerous each movie. But his quote actually sounds terrifying. It's in reference to the stunt he's going to do off a giant ramp, just launching into a canyon or valley, then pulling his chute, which I guess the chute isn't just like the shots over. The chute's actually the ending of the stunt.
So he's going to land it.
Yeah. Well, here's the part he asks. He's not worrying about landing in the chute. Here's the hard part, he says. If the wind was too strong, it would blow me off the ramp. The helicopter filming the stunt was a problem because I didn't want to be hammering down the ramp at top speed and get hit by a stone. Or if I departed in a weird way, we wouldn't know what was going to happen with the bike. I had about 6 seconds once I had departed the ramp to pull the chute, and if I didn't, I don't want to get tangled in the bike. If I do, that's not going to end well.
How'd you get tangled in the bike? Never mind.
Yeah, he probably has there's a thin window between when he has to like jump off of the bike and pull the chute. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think scary. If he got wrapped around a bike, that would probably fall faster. No, I guess it's not possible to fall faster, but
that's right.
I think there is wind resistance.
Come on, Isaac Newton.
Wind resistance is a thing.
Not wind resistance is wrapped around a bike.
Yeah, now if you're tangled in it,
you fall. If it was water, you'd sink faster. There we go.
Yeah, imagine if he was tangled in it and pulled the chute and was like pulled with a bike weight up with the chute.
Hey, snap. Get
your snapped. Your spine snapped. Dead.
Snapped. Which hasn't happened yet. The other part of the news that kind of ties in the cruise is the Golden Globes is getting shut down left and right. First, they lost Netflix and Amazon, and then Warner Media is like, no, we're not showing it. We're not bringing anything. They're in trouble. What's the name of the organization? The Hollywood Foreign Press Association. They run the Oscars is everyone voting for their favorite who's in the Academy. This is just decided by the Hollywood Foreign Press, who doesn't have a single black member. And I don't think they're actually all white, but Sacha Baron Cohen called them all white when accepting his award for Borat 2. So in addition to that, to make matters worse, NBC, who's aired it since the 1990s, says they won't air it next year. And it ties into Cruise because Cruise returned all three of his Golden Globes. So what do we think about the first of all, I wrote this in the article too, but I've always considered the Golden Globes like the child's Oscars. And I wish they were the child's Oscars.
They're not even. It's like what, 60 people are in the Hollywood Foreign Press? There's not even that many. There's not a lot of breadth.
I just meant in the way that it's the most, you usually don't put other awards necessarily on your Blu-ray case. I mean, you might do Sundance or something, but the Golden Globes is definitely the second most watched award ceremony. So in that way, they're kind of like the junior Oscars, where it's like these ones matter even less because we give them to movies like Avatar, and the real awards are coming up. But yeah, we might not be watching. Well, I won't be watching them next year, but they have to find a home and actors who will actually go to the award ceremony.
Yeah. So. I mean, I feel like it's, I don't know too much about that, but I feel like it's, I get where it's coming from, but at the same time, it's like it's such an empty gesture to give back your Golden Globes. Like you still want a Golden Globe. You still put that on your resume. You're not I mean, it doesn't matter. He's Tom Cruise, but it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's a sign. I mean,
I mean, it is. It's
other people have criticized them, but no one's. I mean, yeah, of course it's symbolic, but
yeah.
Yeah. So I agree. It is nice that he did it. It's great. But it's kind of an empty gesture, but the criticism that goes along with it is nice. I think that the Hollywood foreign press has been kind of steeped in controversy for a while. So it's not just this, right? It's not just the number of people that they have in association with people of color. It's the fact that, so for instance, Brendan Fraser, I don't know if you guys remember this, one of the reasons that he kind of fell off in Hollywood was because he made a claim against the then president of the Hollywood foreign press and said that he groped it.
Oh, that's the guy. I remember we talked about.
I don't know if it's the same president.
No, I'm just saying I didn't know who it was because we discussed that previously.
Yeah, so that happened to Brendan Fraser. And then these are also the same folks that nominated Emily in Paris over with Michaela Cole. And so the controversy there was with Emily in Paris, they invited them to the set. They paid for them to go to this hotel. They fed them and they basically, I don't want to say bribed them, but it was basically like that. And so when you have a show like that versus, and I'm not saying that to denigrate Emily in Paris, but you have a show like that where they seem
it's a bad show
catered to. I don't want to say that. I just mean, it seems like they've been catered to versus I May Destroy You, which was critically praised from Michaela Cole and no one got nominated, or Issa Rae from, what is Issa Rae's show? Name just jumped out of my head. It's one word.
I will say this, studios inviting press and paying for things, that's par for the course for big studios. And it it does also just sort of makes it harder for the smaller studios too, because you're just, you know, bribe or not, they're also just not getting the exposure by not paying people to go on the set. So if you have a movie whose budget is smaller and they don't have the marketing budget to fly out a bunch of press and do all that stuff, you know, whether or not it's like a bribe or whatever, they're just not going to get the exposure, and that just it makes it less likely for it to happen. So yeah, like
Insecure, not a bribe. The name of the show I couldn't think of.
Yeah. So
as the resident foreigner here, can some one of you fine gentlemen spread some light on what exactly the Hollywood foreign press is in this context? Because it sounds like they have some sway, some power, some pull. If they've managed to, for example, allegedly prevent Brendan Fraser from pursuing his career at any great level, but you know, from what I can hear, I don't actually. So what do they do? Is it, as the name suggests, it's the foreign press, or is it like the World Super, like the fucking baseball World Series that doesn't include any teams from outside of the US?
No. So it's the first thing that you said. It's foreign press that report on Hollywood. Like that's almost exactly
90 as of right now. 90 members from approximately 55 countries.
Yeah.
Right, so it's a global thing. It's not just the US. It's a global thing that doesn't have black representation, or it's completely white. There's no minority representation. So where are these countries then that the press are from?
That are they all from Europe? That I couldn't say.
No idea.
And about the Brendan Fraser thing, just to be clear, as far as I understand it, they didn't prevent him from pursuing his career. As I understand it, he was groped in the early 2000s. And he reported it like almost immediately. They did an internal investigation. They basically were like, nah. And
okay. All right. Well, yeah, I misspoke in representing that, but it was just the, how his career had been affected by that.
Yeah.
That's probably better.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Because obviously I'm not aware of what this group of individuals do. So it is a global, as far as we know. We're just not sure which countries are actually from. So to have no minority representation when it's a global thing, an international thing, is even more interesting, even more fascinating. I'd be more prone to looking into that now to find out where exactly these people are from 54 different countries, or whatever the number was, 50, yeah. 90. Did you say 90, Jam? Sorry.
90 people countries. From 55 countries.
Gotcha. Sorry. There you go.
Yeah. Probably mostly from Paris.
That's also, interestingly enough, their website
Emily Blunté.
Their website isn't working.
There you go.
Unsurprisingly, right? I don't even think it's been hacked. There are probably a bunch of people like Danny, like, what the fuck is this organization that Tom Cruise doesn't want to be a part of anymore? Their website just can't handle the load.
Share the load.
Yeah, so get up those GoDaddy servers. Sorry.
What's next, Nick?
Well, I think appeal to Jonesy quite a bit. If Tanya was here, she'd really love it. Venture Bros, Aqua Team Hunger Force, and Metalocalypse are all getting their own films.
Tina.
Yeah, whatever. I saw a few episodes. It's garbage.
See, he's just doing it on purpose. I refuse to even acknowledge.
All I've had is my, not even orange juice. Not Tang. Sunny Delight. Sunny D. That's my Sunny Delight this morning. Sunny D. Don't even call it Sunny Delight anymore. Nah.
I want that purple stuff. I'm pretty excited about that. Mostly Venture Brothers, then Metalocalypse. Aqua Teen Hunger Force. But I'm definitely excited about the first two. So
yeah, I wish I had more to say. I think Aqua Teen Hunger Force was like the last original Adult Swim adult animation-esque program that I really watched. I don't watch a lot of those much.
These days, they only really have Rick and Morty. As far as I know, I still have kids.
I tried Rick and Morty. I gave that like half a season, and I was just like, this is too mean-spirited for me, but everybody loves it.
They did the Harvey Birdman spinoff.
Oh, yeah, that's recent, right?
Yeah, it's relatively new. But yeah, I don't watch Adult Swim anymore.
No.
Yeah.
They will air on Adult Swim and HBO Max because that's where all the reruns are airing for the shows right now. Mm. Like that's where I got my Rick and Morty season 4, whatever the last season was. And do we really want to talk Seth Rogen and James Franco, or do we want to move on to...
Let's move on because we have like less than an hour left, and then we have two things to talk about. So I'd say we move on. But I do want to say this, as far as the countries... Their publications for Hollywood Foreign Press. Their publications include leading newspapers and magazines in Europe, Asia, Australia, New Zealand, and Latin America. I don't know how they don't have any people of color.
Yeah, just like that whole continent, right? Like,
is it just black people or is it just people of color?
It's not a single black member. I don't think they're all white. They just was Sacha Baron Cohen called them.
Okay.
All right. Who's taken over to get into the show and the movie we watched?
Show and the movie. So... The other show we were going to talk about, you got to do like a news thing. You'd be like, back to you, Jonesy. Back to you in the studio.
Back to you, Jonesy, in the studio. That was me being attacked.
Thanks, Nick. Stay safe out there. Stay safe out there.
Like, have you seen that video? Sorry, of the reporter who's like, he's talking, and when I see him, he's looking at me, he's looking over, he's like, hell no. And he gets like back in the van.
I've seen that. I think
he's looking at a herd of buffalo or something. When he's looking over, he's like, his first one, his eyes are wide. He's like, oh, hell.
And there was another one where something, I think he got like a spider web caught in his face. He's like, what the fuck was that?
I've also seen one where a bird literally shat in a reporter's mouth. And he's like,
anyway. That happened to me when I visited Scotland. Well, not in the mouth, but I visited Scotland, and literally the second I got out, a bird shat on my shoulder.
I'm really just laughing at the not in the mouth part.
I almost spat water all over these electric devices. Oh, Gemma. Oh,
back to you, Jonesy.
Thanks, Nick. You stay safe out there.
Was anyone watching? Time to dick was what?
That wasn't a dick thing. I was just saying he said a bird shot in somebody's mouth.
The Shatner or shit, whichever topic we get to.
Oh, that's too funny.
Okay, I'm recovered. I'm all right. So Jupiter's Legacy is the latest superhero TV show to hit Netflix. It is from Millar World. From Mark Millar. Yeah. And so this is the deal that was cut a couple of years ago. And so this first fruits of that labor.
Don't you remember the island? And what we had to do to earn these powers?
90 years. 90 years, and what do we have to show for it?
We've made a difference, Shell.
What was Dad like when he was younger?
Nothing ever rattled him faster.
The man I knew was never at home when I was a kid.
Too busy saving the world.
stars quite a few folks. Does it? Josh Duhamel?
Yeah. Else? Whoever his wife is looks super recognizable.
Yeah. But that's yeah, it. Anyway, I don't have a lot to say about the show because honestly, as I watch it, I feel like my immediate thought is this is what a show would be like if every CW show had $100 million more to.
That was one of the reviews I read before I watched
it. Was it really?
It's like it's like unlike like the it's compared to like other streaming services, superhero shows, and just you know the prestige shows. It's like unlike all those, this just feels like a CW show.
Yeah,
like any other one you'd watch.
This is Smallville but up-rezzed. Like that's it. So I'm not particularly enthralled with it, but let's see how y'all feel. Danny, what you think?
Got nothing. We haven't got it on our region. Yeah, on our region.
Weird. It's so shit they didn't even give it to everyone.
Clearly not, because I thought you guys are watching it. I'm going to sit down and watch it, and with absolutely nothing, no sign of it. So I've got nothing on this. So I'm gonna. Don't worry about spoilers. I'm not that fussed about that. But I am definitely more interested now to see what you guys think, because it may well be there soon.
Okay.
Do you have a literal Twitter review? I'll do it after. I have Jammer's Twitter review here too.
It's not bad. It's fine. It's nothing. I think Nick had the most accurate reviews. We'll get to that in a second. Like he was exactly right. It's fine. It's like entertaining enough. But it's weird because it's like I feel like its tone is incongruous with its production design and costumes. It seems like it's trying to be serious-ish, but then it looks so fucking campy. Yeah. And I don't know how to feel about it. And also, and I've said this before, like I'm growing more and more jaded with streaming TV and how the episodes are too long. They're just too long. The pacing is just boring. And I'm like, we could lose 5 to 10 minutes per episode and probably be fine. But it's a serialized TV show. So we have to do 50 minutes an episode because we can. And so we fill up that time and we can indulge in it. And this is coming from someone who really loves Zack Snyder's Justice League. So
that's what I was going to call your shit on.
No. But the thing is, I think that one was paced well, even if it was long. I feel like each scene had a purpose, even if each moment in each scene didn't. And I don't know if I could say the same thing about a lot of shows these days that are on TV. They're just like slow burns. This was better than most in that front, but it was just like it wasn't great. It just didn't have very high highs. It was just fine.
Funny about that. Like I did not think that until I got to the episode where it was just basically Chloe's bender. And when it was just like her doing drugs again and again, I'm like, yeah, is this the same fucking episode? It just went on and on and on for so long that I was so just done by the end of that episode. But
how many episodes are there, guys? How many episodes in the season, Daniel? Is it 6 or 8? Is it 8?
I think it's 8. I think it's
8. Let me see.
I wanted to look, but I didn't want to quit. No, sorry. Go ahead.
Here's my review that Jammer agreed with. That it's literally a Twitter review because that's what I wrote last night. I was about 4 to 5 episodes in, and I do enjoy it better when I've been drinking. I wasn't drunk, but I was had a few beers, and I was like, this is okay. But here's my review. I'm enjoying Jupiter's Legacy, but the main problem with the show is that it doesn't have an original bone in its body. Yes, it mashes together things I've seen in other superhero shows, movies in a fun way, but it doesn't even offer new commentary on the genre.
Yep.
It feels like it irritates me more than anything else. Like the whole, so there's a broader conversation about basically whether or not superheroes can kill. And it seems stupid in the context in which they're discussing it, which is basically, so Danny, for your edification, there's this part where there's a Doomsday-esque type character. Very so Doomsday. He's a mashup. Yeah, he's like, you take Mongol and Doomsday and Darkseid, like mash him up, and that's this dude. And he's just destroying them. And all of the superheroes that are there had to have been like, what, 8, 9 superheroes there, and they could not take this dude down. And so the main character's son, Brandon Samson, like, is like, well, he's about to kill my dad. And so he jumps up and punches him in the face and obliterates his face and kills him. And his dad, Josh Duhamel, is just like, why did you kill him? You could have, and they have the same conversation that we had around Zack Snyder's Superman. You could have taken him into space. You could have done all of these other things. It's like, no. Like, in that moment when he was about to kill you, like, you could have just killed him and it would have been fine. And so it's the commentary that they have about this stuff. And maybe we just haven't gotten, I know we haven't gotten just to the conclusion of that conversation. It just seems stupid in the context that they're discussing it. Me as someone who's like, it's weird that you're having Batman kill. And I'm like, no. That was a situation where you absolutely should have just killed the dude. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I should have more to say about the show, but I think it's just like I said, it's not bad.
What's interesting to me, I actually enjoy the flashbacks more than the modern day superhero stuff, because I want to get to why I want to understand. So here's my other question. Are they supposed to look aged up, or they just all have white hair?
I think they've, so 90 years has passed, I think, since they've gotten their powers. And whatever caused them to get their powers just causes them to age incredibly slowly.
But they still all have, like, from the minute I saw the trailer, I'm like, Josh Duhamel looks fucking ridiculous with a fully white beard and stuff. And,
well, like, I think he's supposed to look like Jesus or God.
Oh, okay. But then what about, like, at first I thought maybe they're trying to age them up a little bit. His brother or the uncle looks a lot older. But then, like, you look at his wife and it's like, oh, she definitely looks 30. Whoever's playing his wife with just white hair.
Yeah, I think she just I think that's just
to turn their hair white eventually, and they don't age other than that.
Yeah,
that hair and that beard.
Yeah, but with her, they do nothing. It's just white hair.
That hair and beard reminds me of the terrible wig from
Venom,
Mortal Kombat Annihilation for Raiden.
I don't even remember it.
I don't either, and that's the weird thing is I got that feeling from it, even not having remembered. I had to search my feelings for that reference. As far as wigs go, it was on point with like Woody Harrelson's wig in the Hunger Games series. Just terrible. Not good.
Or the Carnage trailer. I mean,
I was going to say, it's so weird that you say that when Venom is right there for you to grab. Like, why would you go for Hunger Games?
It was fine. Well, because I don't remember Venom, dude. I liked the Hunger Games. I didn't like Venom that much.
Okay.
That much. It was okay.
There you go. Backtracking it. There you go.
I've seen it once.
You back in that tray now. Go ahead. Sorry.
It was amazing.
I will agree with Nick, though. I think that the flashbacks are the only thing keeping me into the show, because I just really want to know how they got their powers. But the modern day shit, I don't care about. I don't care about his kids. I don't care about any of their struggles. Like, I don't care about.
I do care about. I want to learn more about why the guy just kind of split from the group that they referenced in the first episode.
Yeah, but that feels more flashbacky than the
mom. Yeah, again, it feels stuff. Even though we're seeing his son, it does feel more flashbacky.
Yeah. So also, maybe I just don't like what they're doing with Chloe, but it seemed really weird to me that there's a scene where she's in a hospital bed talking to the person that saved her from a drug overdose, who she'd only met once before that. And then the next time we see her, they're shagging. And it's like, is this a dream? Because there was no conversation in between him saving you from an overdose and you guys fucking like right now. And so I was just like, I don't like what they're doing with this character. So, but that's just me. But other than that,
I'll probably finish the season, but I don't have like strong feelings. Like I said, like everything that like, cause I kept asking that question before it came out. Like, I've watched the trailer. Someone who has watched it, please tell me what makes this one unlike the others. Like, we've seen deconstructions, we've seen classic Marvel and DC, we've seen Millar do other superhero type shit with Invincible. Hit Girl, Kick Ass.
Yeah,
but it's just nothing here that like everything feels like it's taken from something. Like, kind of the older superheroes versus the younger reminds me of Watchmen. Like, there's blood like The Boys. There's like, should we kill her?
There's like, blood like The Boys. The Boys has a freaking, they have a patent monopoly on blood.
Yeah.
Monopoly on blood.
Wait, versus Danny, DC or Marvel, I would say. So definitely.
Danny, have you seen Disenchanted on Netflix?
Yes.
So
yeah. Disenchantment.
Disenchantment. This reminds me of that, where it's like, it's just okay. Like, it's just, it's not. You're like, I know this is from people that whose stuff that I generally enjoy, but this is just okay. And to Nick's point, like, it's just an amalgamation of shit that you've seen before. And it has that same level of blah that I get from Disenchantment. despite having things that I like.
Or through for the CW shows, from like the strong, either like the middling seasons of the CW shows.
Yep.
So the question is then, would you recommend it, Jonesy?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Nick?
No.
Gamma?
I mean, if it looks interesting to you, give it a shot maybe. But I mean, it's not going to blow you away maybe. But it might. I don't know.
I have a very
wishy-washy about this one because it's so down the middle that I'm like, maybe it would appeal to somebody. It's like, I'm sure it does.
I have a longer list of superhero shows to recommend.
It's not. It's not bad at all. It's competent. And like I said, it was slow, but I was still like mostly entertained, even if it wasn't great.
Well, I'm not sure what the worst part is.
Episode 3.
So here's the worst part. Castlevania comes out today. I'm not going to watch another episode of this show before I finish that now. So I'm
I also have other shows I'd rather watch.
Watch Castlevania.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I would watch catch up on the Batman animated stuff that you guys have recommended.
I think that's a superhero show I'd recommend more.
I would watch Sex Education before we watch this, even though they're not anywhere relevant. Sex Education is so good. Have you guys watched that?
First season. How many there are now? Just two?
Just two.
Okay. I need to watch the second season. That show is fantastic.
This show is so good. If you haven't seen it, it's fucking amazing. We've been actually just revisiting it because why not? And it's just fucking great.
Again, like amazing, I said, completely unrelated, but something we'd recommend before is Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Mythic Quest. I would recommend that before this.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Season 2 started.
Yeah.
Good so far.
I saw the first episode. Haven't seen the second one.
First two are good.
Also, I need to get on that. Get past the second episode of the first season.
Nick, you'll be happy to know this. I got Troubled Blood, the Robert Galbraith / J.K. Rowling book from the library, so I didn't put money in her pockets. So the Nick Dahl rule of not supporting folks.
That counts. That works.
That is not why.
Jones, is that the book you had on Instagram? Is that the one you shown on Instagram?
Yes, because I think Jammer pointed this out when we first started talking about that it's the longest one, but in my head I'm just like, yeah, whatever. And I envisioned that I was just going to buy it on Kindle, but I just happened to look at the library and it was there and I picked it up. It's like, this is a fucking tome. It's like 900 and something pages. And so that was the joke that Danny's referencing. I flipped through the pages on Instagram and it's like, oh, when the writer of Harry Potter remembers her roots, and it's just like just a sprawlingly long book. So read the first chapter last night. I shall continue.
Is it good still so far?
Yeah, first chapter is interesting. I was dog tired last night, so that's all I could read.
Mm, fair enough. So. I haven't read it yet. I should.
Me neither.
I have it on Kindle.
Just do it. You know what we should have? We should have a Breaking Geek
book club.
Podcast book club. That's right. Book club.
You know I don't know how to read.
I mean, I don't read.
What was that?
I'm not against that.
Did you guys ever see the Transformers movie with the two little racist robots?
Yeah, the second one.
That was Revenge the third. Oh, yeah, it was the second one.
You know, we can't read good. So I wish I was editing the podcast. I'll like drop that in when Nick is saying he doesn't read.
You don't read good.
You guys know I don't read good.
you sounded like Butters from South Park.
Right, let's move on to the other thing we watched.
Connected, right? Is that the name of it? It's Connected.
Mitchells versus the Machines.
Let it begin.
The last humans must be here somewhere. Wait.
They're coming.
Is that a burnt orange 1993 station wagon? Or is it...
Who are these unstoppable warriors?
We're the Mitchells. The only people who can save the world. I'm super sorry, everyone.
Whatever. So this was a film... This is a film... It was originally titled Mitchells vs. Machines, but then Sony was like, nah, son, we're going to title it Connected. And then they released some trailers for it, Connected. And then the pandemic happened... So they decided to sell the movie to Netflix. And Netflix is like, Connected is a shitty title. Let's not name it Connected. What else you got? And they're like, well, we had this original title, Mitchells versus Machines. And they're like, yeah, let's do that instead. So
I mean, it's super generic.
Back to Mitchells versus Machines.
It's super generic. It has
like Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, Connected. It has no... Well, that's got connected? Star Wars in front of it, so it doesn't really count. Yeah, Connected is super...
I like that one better because it has two meanings. It's like Arrested Development as far as the title, which didn't help that show any.
I mean, having two meanings doesn't make it better, right?
Like, Connected is fine. Connected is, it's like, I can see why they got it, but it's so like boring, whereas Mitchell's in the Machines, it's like goofy and pulpy and silly. And I think it captures the tone and the, what's it called? The energy of the movie much better than Connected.
Yeah, that's true. It captures definitely the energy of the main character. She would have called it that.
All of what Jammer said. So this film has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 7.9 on IMDb. It is produced by Phil Lord and Chris Miller. And so I will say this before we get into our Twitter reviews of this film. Given how much I enjoy the rest of their stuff, I really would like to see their cut of Solo. I know it doesn't really exist. There's no, there's nothing
Release
to it.
The Solo cut?
Release
Fuck
the
you
solo
your hashtags.
Yeah.
I would also like to see that, but no more hashtags.
I just think given how I have enjoyed everything that they have done up until this point, and given how much I didn't like Solo, I would much rather have gotten their version of that than what I did get. That's just me.
I agree. That's honestly, I don't even need to get it instead of that. Give me both. I don't give a fuck. I'll watch both of them and like them both on different levels. Even though I thought the Solo was okay. It was fine. God, that's like my thing. Everything is like, I don't hate. It's just like, it's okay.
You just make sense about everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll watch that. I'd watch the Phil Lord and Chris Miller cut of Solo. But that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
String together the footage they have without special effects. I'd love to just see the performances and stuff, what they got out versus
in the script. Here's the thing. Here's what they should do. Here's what I would prefer. Or not even prefer. Like, I know it is harder to do a Snyder cut because generally all of those pieces of a movie don't exist. Just put the script out there. I would pay to read the script for a movie that you either canceled or didn't make.
Well,
like, I want that.
Or that's make why a, they got fired.
Graphic novel.
That's why they got fired is because they weren't doing. It was the exact same script, but they weren't following Kasdan's script as much, and they were ad-libbing. So Kasdan helped get them fired. So the script would be no different. That's why I want to see their just even takes because they let like Donald Glover and all them ad-lib a little bit. I'm sure they gave a different type of performance to an extent. Like his Lando impression is his Lando impression, but
Donald Glover's Donald Glover.
Yeah, he's my boy. One of my many boys. All my children.
Sounds creepy. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Moving on.
Anyways, Nick Mitchell's Dahl. Versus the Machines.
You were the last person of the group to see the film. What did you think of it, Nick?
Definitely enjoyed it. I love the art style. Just like Spider-Verse. You know, the combination of like 2D, 3D, and it gives it a very unique look. I do feel, and you guys will definitely disagree with this, I didn't connect on an emotional level the same way I do with all their other films. This was on par with Lego Movie 2 for me as far as emotional. It was just like, okay, they need another Lego movie, but they didn't nail the magic of the first. This feels like it's missing their magic. Like, I get more emotional moments out of 21 and 22 Jump Street, which is also them. I don't know. This one felt heartless compared to their normal stuff. Like, I get it. It's supposed to be about family coming together, and I usually like, you know, daughter, father, son, father plots, but this just didn't do it for me. It was enjoyable. I would definitely recommend it as a good animated film, but it didn't have this. Usually their movies have heart like a Pixar movie, and this one just didn't have the heart of a Spider-Verse or a Lego Movie 1 or even Lego Batman. So that would be my quick review.
Okay. Danny?
Good jokes, great animation, and I kind of disagree with Nick there because I think good jokes, great animation in a real feeling, a real family dynamic, grounded in a real family dynamic. A modern family, I think, is probably the better way of putting it. So, yeah, good jokes, great animation in a modern family dynamic. I thought they did a good job with that. And for me then, Nick, that's why I felt it was a bit more, it did have that emotional tug to it with the way that the father and the daughter, no spoilers just yet, their relationship changed, grew, and had adapted over the years. Maybe not done as well as other films, but I think it was certainly there. So yeah, that's me. Great animation, good jokes, good family.
Her dad, such a prick. Jammer, what do you think?
Like everyone else, amazing animation, amazing imagination. I really like the characters a lot. I don't agree with Nick as far as it not having heart or emotion. I think it does definitely have it there. Personally, I felt more that it was, especially near the end, more ham-fisted and in your face and less subtle. And I mean, I still liked it a lot, but I mean, like, it was less subtle and therefore maybe less skillfully crafted. And it felt like it was blaring in my face, feel things. And I was, but I think it could have just been done in a way that was less in your face and more subtle. So I guess maybe that would be my main criticism of it.
Maybe that's why I had more of a disconnect. Cause it was very like the father thing goes from breaking her laptop and her like seeing a toy her father gave. Like it's, yeah, not,
I mean, I liked whatsoever. It. I liked yeah. it. No, like, it worked for me. It worked and I felt it and I even teared up. I think maybe cried at one point, but at the same time I was like, that was obvious. And that was like, was it lazy? I don't know if it was. It probably was, but it worked either way.
Yeah.
I saw you know, the strings being pulled on me and I felt it, but I saw it happening. And I was just like, I don't like that. I can see
no
these
strings on me.
So that's my Twitter review. That's my 5-minute Twitter review.
Yeah. No, that was like your Parler review. So
how many characters is there?
None. Shut down their servers. I thought that it was okay. I didn't connect with it like I generally do with their stuff. And I don't want to say that it was heartless, because it was definitely there, but I thought it was overly long. And it's something that I would watch with the kids, but I have no desire to see it again.
I've seen it twice already since then. You know, it's funny, as I did feel the same thing, and I've heard this from a bunch of reviews, it feels long, and I agree. I was like 30 minutes into it and I thought I was halfway through it, but it was one of those things where I thought I was halfway through it, but I was just like, oh cool, I have more than I thought, and I was happy about it, but it still felt like it was a long time. Like I'm wondering what it is about the story that made it feel long, because I still can't put my finger on why it felt long to me, but not in a bad way. I felt like content by the end. I was like, okay, that hit the spot of what I wanted in terms of length and in terms of emotion, in terms of animation. So I felt content, but it still felt like it was long.
I'm trying to think of why. I think there were some things that just went on longer than they needed to. So the mall scene to me is one that I can think of.
I know it's funny. I would cut the Furbies.
Fuck you. I love that part.
I mean, they're funny, but like I would cut
that whole thing though. Like all of that, the entire sequence. Now it's too long.
Yeah, I liked it. No, I thought it was great.
You're weird. I think the climax is a little bit too long.
Yeah, the climax is really long.
Yeah. I think so. There was that moment where it's like they start, spoilers by the way, where they start to like fight to that song, that song. And I was like, okay, we're at the end. And then it like lasted, I think, another 5 to 10 minutes after that.
Yeah.
And I was exactly, like, oh, it's still going.
You guys are just gonna play the whole song. Okay. The whole song.
No, it wasn't even that scene. It was actually just beyond that. How there still after was more that. Fight after that. Whereas that, I feel like that should have been the moment where it was like, boom, done after that. But then it wasn't.
Yeah.
But like I said, I still liked it because I liked the enemies and I liked the way the animation goes. And I liked just, it worked for me, but I can still recognize that. Yeah, that was too long or felt long.
Pacing, man.
Yawning, just thinking about it. So it's funny, Nick, we talked about this on the last show. You were like, oh, they just have to do this stupid thing so the dad can do this one thing. What did you think about that scene and how that played out? Do you remember?
It was super obvious plant and payoff, but I didn't see where it was going to pay off because I didn't think about it that hard.
Do you feel spoiled now that you've seen it? Do you feel like, fuck, now I knew that he had a screwdriver?
It did lessen the experience for me because I'm like, oh, the dad's going to escape first.
Really? Less of that experience for you?
It's like, when they're all locked up, I'm like, oh, the dad's going to escape. Like, knowing what happens next.
I mean, presumably, aren't they all going to escape?
Yeah. To know exactly what's going to happen next.
We knew they were going to escape. That's the thing.
Yeah, but I don't want specific details when I go into a third
act. Did you know how? Did you know how he would escape?
No, because I didn't read the full tweet intentionally. I was like reading it. I'm like, no.
All right.
But sure. here's a major complaint I have that doesn't affect the score of the movie at all. I mean, my score of the movie, it's just something that always pisses me off in movies.
What is your score before you go into this?
3 out of 5, like most movies.
On the fence, just like Jammer.
Yeah, I very rarely give something lower than a 3. 3 means I enjoyed it.
Okay.
But so this wouldn't even affect how I like the movie overall. But don't say we're going to a mall in Eastern California. And it,
oh,
you know,
my
I,
God.
I get it.
Is this the palm tree shit?
Yes. Why the fuck do you it's like, do some fuck. I've turned off movies for stuff like that.
That's
like, there's a movie
weird,
about
that's
fast food
normal.
With Greg Kinnear, and it's set in Colorado. And there's like an El Pollo Loco, and his driver's license is vertical instead of horizontal. And it's like, did anybody do any fucking research? Like just, you can even dub it with a different location when you walk in and you're like, oh, that doesn't look like Colorado at all. Why are there palm trees everywhere? Let's call it Arizona, Nevada. It's like,
you know what? Here's the thing.
Did you say Nevada?
I said Nevada, but Nevada.
But like, come on, that's such a weird thing to get. Hung up
it just
on.
Shows laziness on their part. It's like you Is did zero research. You don't
you
even
don't
know
that
Colorado
it could have been intentional.
Palm trees.
You know, here's the thing. I bet you they said they're like, there's no palm trees. They're like, yeah, but they look good. They could have been that.
It's dumb.
What's wrong
it.
With that?
Next time a movie does Why? That, I will turn it off.
Why? Why?
It's just, it's just lazy.
You have,
it's not lazy.
You have,
it could be for,
you have,
for aesthetics.
You have well, the strangest film place. Triggers.
Well, it's just stupid when you watch something like that. I mean, you're like,
it really isn't. It's not a big deal. It doesn't affect the story. It doesn't affect anything.
That's why I said it doesn't affect my grade of the movie, but just watching that scene, I'm like, it's like a palm. It's a face palm moment. It's not like I hate
the palm trees.
Moment. Yeah, exactly. It's a face palm to palm tree, face tree palm moment. Where you just kind of like slap myself in the face too hard because I was like, oh my fucking God again. And that just doesn't go for Colorado. It's like, oh, like, you know, like, I don't know. Most TV shows are about a Midwestern town and they all just shoot in the California neighborhood. Like there
well,
are
not,
there are palm trees in Indiana.
They don't have the budget. They don't
Indiana.
Have the budget. To go other places.
No, exactly. But when you're animating, it's easy not like to not.
But
fuck
when we don't
up.
Know the, but we don't know the reason why. Like I said, it could have just been a pure creative choice.
There's no good reason.
As someone who's lived in California and who lives in Colorado, I can't say I'm offended on any level that the palm trees have been that Colorado this Colorado has appropriated palm trees for it. I have no problem with that.
They don't grow here. I mean, like,
I'm aware of that, Nick. I'm aware of that.
It's dumb. It just feels lazy.
It's so weird. It really isn't lazy. It's, I don't.
It just feels like, I don't know, a bunch of people staying in California being like, we can do what we want. This is California.
They can.
Everybody loves us.
They did. It's animation. They can do whatever the fuck they want. What's wrong with that?
I'm going to knock it down a whole. No, I'm kidding.
Jesus.
It's a pet peeve when you like, not, like I said, not just Colorado, but like even a region of the country. And it's like, oh, that's not, like, that's why I think Austin Powers is one of my favorites because it fixes it exactly with one line. It's like, who would have thought that the English countryside looks just like Southern California as he's like driving down a Southern California road? Like, just give me a line, give me a joke line if you're going to do something that stupid.
You know, one thing that I liked about the movie was it was the fact that John Legend and Chrissy Teigen were the perfect family and they did not. Yes. What you generally expect when that happens, when there's somebody that's supposed to be the perfect family is that somehow they will tear them down and show you that they're not really the perfect family. It's like, no, they still are. They're still perfect. They just happened to get caught by the machines. I thought that was a funny gag. Like they never broke. They were just like, no, they're still perfect.
I guess it's part of the plot too, is you need to be quirky to get out. Like if weirdness saved them, even the perfect team is going to get captured by robots because they're expecting that kind of shit.
Yeah. I just like that there was no infighting or anything like that. Like they weren't faking it. They really just were perfect.
Yeah. Speaking of tearing people down, I'm going to tear down somebody. So the YouTuber Grace Randolph, she had the most strange review for this movie where she spent the first few minutes talking about one aspect of the movie that she did not like.
Doesn't she get, I don't want to say popular, but aren't the controversies in her opinions the thing that get her a bunch of clicks?
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
also
I don't
made
think
up
this
scoops.
Is not this is not one of them. One of those.
Okay.
I don't think she makes them up. I think she just goes all in on specific things that don't pan out and she sticks to them. I don't think she makes them up. She definitely has connections.
I don't know. It seems like every story she writes is about the end of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
It's like she wants it to fail through her
work. It's one of those instances where
she
had a source or two say something and she's like writing it hard. She's like, I'm going to stick to this.
Even though it's been misproven, she's like, I'm going.
Well, it's at the end of the day, like, she's like, my source is there. And I'm like, all right, whatever. But anyways, she, and you could comment on this, Nick. What she didn't like about this movie,
Palm Trees and Colorado,
is that she did not think it was believable that the main character got into film school because her projects were too goofy.
They were that was all. I don't know. It's not the real word, first of all. And they're quirky and they're like creative as shit.
Yeah, I know that. But she was just like, but you have to have like real sort of thought behind your movies. And these ones, she was just goofing around. And I'm like, what the fuck are you on? What are you talking about?
What would be a racist movie in today where two people find a Mexican in their trunk? And it's called The Mexican in My Trunk. And that's, I submitted that and a movie that was a parody of 24 called 15, where they had 15 minutes to get home for the finale of Arrested Development. And it was done in real time, like 24.
I don't remember the movies I sent in for film school.
And I wrote an essay about Last Crusade. And the whole point of my essay is that everyone else who's going to your film school is going to pick some like stupid indie movie, but I'm here. I want to come to school to make blockbusters.
Mm. Well, I don't remember what I wrote or what I sent in. So you got an edge on me. But I think my point is, as two people who went to film school, I think we could both agree is that she would get into film school. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Her movies are better than ours were.
Yeah. And it's also actually connected to that part, obviously, especially the part where she's like, these are my people. Like, I can talk normally with these people.
Yeah.
Like you guys are film school. I talk to my family too much about movies to a point where they just shut down and don't listen to me. And like, even working at the movie theater, it's like, these are my people. I can talk to them about movies and they won't like obviously stop listening to me. That I can see it in their face.
You're like, because I'm their boss and I can fucking fire their asses if they do.
Yeah. So I have a question. Jammer, you said you were crying before, and I'm curious what scene it was at, because it had anything to do with the dad,
yes, for it did.
Me, it was hard for me to come back around to his side, because obviously all the things that we're seeing it happen with them don't happen in real time. So there's space for them to breathe and for you to not be as annoyed. But in the runtime of this movie, by the time we got to the end, I'm still like, you threw her computer against the wall. And like,
you didn't throw it against the wall.
Was he? They were struggling.
They were struggling. He was trying to see it. He's like, no, let me see it. And she's like, it's too late. And then she pulls and he loses it. And like, it gets thrown against, he didn't throw it against the wall.
Don't fight with the kid about their thing.
It was a simple misunderstanding. He was trying to watch her movie after he, you know, first
trying to pretend to care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he was a bad guy. I don't, he didn't bother me at all. Cause I think he's very much like, he's just like a parent where he sees things from a very specific perspective. He doesn't necessarily know how to see it from another perspective, and he is trying to learn that and is like not very good at it. And I think that was just very relatable personally, because I have family like that too, where it's just like they legitimately just don't understand how any of the stuff either A would make money or B would be that important to you, but they have the best intentions in mind.
Okay. I couldn't get down with them. I was just like,
now there was an article about how animated dads are getting hotter. And they included him on it, but the main picture I saw from the article was the dad from Raya and the Last Dragon was the main picture they used in the article. So then they even mentioned him, like his build. I'm like, he's like a cartoon version of Danny McBride.
Yeah.
He's barrel-chested, like the old-fashioned. It's a weird off-comment.
I also really liked Eric Andre in this, because he was far more understated in this than he generally is. Like, I feel like his live action persona is just so over the top. And it took me a second to realize that was actually him as the Mark Zuckerberg-esque character. I was like, is that Eric? Like, even
I was listening for a while to figure out who it was.
Yeah. Even Disenchantment, I'm like, oh, that's him. But in this, he sounded very different, which I liked. So
do you ever watch Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23?
No,
but you talk relatively, about it a lot.
He's relatively under. He's the main character in that. He's one of the main characters. Yeah, he's relatively understated. He's probably one of the lower key characters in there too, which is why honestly I saw that and then I saw the Eric Andre show. I'm like, this is the same fucking dude. This is like completely different.
And that's like, also like his public persona.
Yeah,
his Eric Andre show.
Yeah, so I was surprised at that time. But yeah, once again, you guys watch it. It's on Netflix. It's fucking funny. It's really good.
Network show.
Okay, so what?
That woman died in Breaking Bad, and I'll never know.
Wait, what?
What's her name?
Kristen Ritter.
What? You're upset about that?
No, I was just like, she died in Breaking Bad, so she's dead to me in the other show. I'm just joking. The reason I didn't watch that show is it was a network show, and it just didn't look funny.
Yeah,
I'm going to share with you guys in Slack. I think that one of the moments in that show is like one of the funniest moments ever, and I'm going to share it in Slack, so at some point you guys should watch it.
Better be good. Better be good.
It's gonna be great.
You guys have anything else to say about this movie?
No, I really enjoyed it. The girls I was with watched it. They loved it too. So I think it's a family film. It's great. I would definitely recommend it.
My kids turned it off.
I definitely would recommend it.
Your kids turned it off?
They turned it off. I left the room and they turned it off. And I came back. I was like, did you guys finish the movie? Oh, actually, I do know. I said, did you finish it? And they said, no. And I said, why? And my daughter was like, it was boring. I was like, oh, okay. So she's five.
It's too highbrow for a five-year-old.
Yes. So before we close out the show, worst Marvel villains. Have you thought about it?
Oh, fuck.
Shit,
oh,
yeah. No.
I was thinking
Malekith.
I keep
Son of a bitch.
That's a good one.
That was totally mine.
Probably it.
Or so Ronan.
I was between Malekith and Dormammu.
I like Dormammu. I like I like how that made the climax of the movie different than other climaxes.
He's just
But it wasn't because of him.
He gets 5 minutes. It's like a great performance by.
But it's mostly because of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, but I mean Benedict Cumberbatch is doing him also, which is funny.
Yeah,
I mean he's not like he's like the main backup villain, but like he's not the villain you follow in that movie. If you had said Mads Mikkelsen, I would have disagreed. But he is a big enough role that. But I can see where you're coming from. He's completely under. Oh, Ego. Ego's top of my list.
He's pretty good.
I like Ego.
No.
I agree with the Marvel executive who's like, I couldn't connect to him once at all. Whereas most Marvel villains are like, I can kind of see where they're coming from. Ego was just like, oh.
I think I just didn't like
the movie. By killing 1,000 other children.
I just didn't like the movie.
Yeah, I don't like that
movie. Oh, how dare you. I like Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
It's just okay.
That's how I feel about the first one.
I love the scene with Yondu, where he's like, you know, just because I'm not your father doesn't mean I'm not your daddy. He's like, oh, that was real good. That was real good.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie's like,
that's actually pretty good in that movie. The A plot just sucks.
That was good. I think it's like he is awesome. Yondu is really good in both movies. So.
And Rocket's fun to pair up with almost anyone. Like,
except
for the guard. I mean, the Guardians, he's great with them too, but you put him next to a Thor or a Yondu, even funnier.
That was a good pull, Danny. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. That was good.
Yeah. Mary Poppins, y'all.
It's good.
I like
that line. In the return to the movies Marvel montage, because they show that scene. I'm surprised they didn't have the line where he's like, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
I just like him, but the overall movie I didn't care for.
I'd agree with the second Guardians. The jokes, too, were just like, we went from like these nice, funny, like really weird jokes to like, my nipples hurt was like Drax every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Not literally, but.
But literally.
I like that scene with the arrow and escaping the Ravager ship. That was
so talk about. I like the B plot.
Yeah, Miss Yondu.
No, I'm just saying that scene specifically. I just like that scene. That scene is potentially what my favorite needle drop in the entire MCU so far.
It is one of that's really
it's
good.
It's pretty good. I think I could literally just watch the scenes in that movie and be 100% satisfied.
Just skip the plot.
I think I'm gonna. Actually, no, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna leave this podcast and go watch Castlevania. So that's
good happening.
Idea. So it's actually out today. I didn't know if you were pretending we're recording on Friday.
Today.
Go then.
Do we do that? Do we pretend that we're recording on Friday?
No, even earlier I'm like, no, but we release on Friday. So sometimes people
it's
just
nearly assume. Friday here. It's true. Quarter to Friday.
Quarter to Friday.
I think that means Danny's ready to go. That means we all should go.
That's a good show. I manage the news. I don't have to do it again. But
oh no, I like the news.
You actually have mission news. Legit mission news.
I feel like that's what should happen. Every time there's mission news, you should just do all the news.
Okay.
just be like a big climax. I like it. And I think we can leave it there. So, folks, if you like what you heard, do all the socials. Like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would definitely appreciate it. Also, LRM has other great content on the website at lrmonline.com. You know where to find us. I say it every week. I'm not going to because I got shows right now. So folks, as always, thanks for listening and we will catch you on the next one. Hasta la zona.
Okay, Nianya.
Good job.